Welcome to the Multipod. This is episode 24. This is the show where we explore multipotentiality and the people that bring it to life. My name is Ted, and I'm the first of your hosts today. We have another group episode for you in the sense that our four regular or semi-regular co-hosts have all gotten together and we've contributed our thoughts to the idea and the topic of role models. What are role models for multipotentialites? What role do they play in our lives? How important are they to our approach and understanding of multipotentiality? And that can certainly include in more of a subconscious or unconscious way, in that the people that we look up to and are inspired by impact our lives and our identity as multipotentialites. So we've all come together today to share some of our thoughts and perspectives on this idea, share a few stories, and talk about the people that have influenced and inspired us in the past and continue to do so today. So you'll hear from not just myself, but Sarah, Vanessa, and Sandrine as we all share our input and ideas. The idea for this episode started when Sarah was on Putty Like, the blog, which of course found so much of the inspiration for the Putty Like community, and that's where Emily Wapnick and her associates expand on various ideas of multipotentiality and write very interesting blog posts. I'm sure most of us listening are aware of it, but you can find the website PuttyLike, all one word, .com, easy to find, PuttyLike.com. Anyway, Sarah had found an interesting blog post not so long ago, just a few weeks ago, in I think October of 2018, talking about how to find a role model as a multipotentialite. It was written by Kristen Wong, who is a fairly regular contributor there. The gist of the article was how multipotentialites can kind of approach the idea, the concept of finding role models in the first place. And again, whether we do it like actively or whether it's just people we kind of stumble across subconsciously without realizing that such people are multipotentialites, or, you know, it relates to our particular identities, right? But it kind of started with the notion of building a role model as opposed to identifying perhaps with a specific person. Instead, you kind of piece people together in various components that make up who they are, and maybe you don't relate to all of it, but you still you kind of pull bits and pieces. So Kristen here, who wrote the article, she was talking about making a list of the people she admires, potential role models, in other words. And what she did, she wrote down exactly what she admires about them. An example, for instance, she talks about Soledad O'Brien. She admires her journalism career and her entrepreneurship. Ariel Levy, she admires her reporting and her writing style. Anthony Bourdain, admired his irreverence and his perspective on travel. And Issa Rae, admires her sense of humor and intrepidness. So, you know, she's kind of pulling various characteristics and qualities of their personalities, of the things she admires, and of course the things they've done from all kinds of varied backgrounds. And if there's a bit of a theme, I don't know, actually, I was thinking maybe writing and journalism, but, you know, some of those people, again, they're entrepreneurs and they're travelers and they're maybe journalists or in the entertainment industry, you know, it could be quite a wide variety of things, but, you know, you're identifying with various components of their personality and their lives. And when you piece it all together, you create a hybrid. She calls it an intersection. And, you know, maybe you can never really find any one person that fits into that mold. But that's a struggle that we face as multipotentialites anyway, isn't it? Because we are all so unique. I mean, everybody's unique in this world, but we feel that we are kind of particularly unique in that we can't be fit into that box. And the distinctive way that we approach our lives and our lifestyle and identify, it means that there's never going to be anyone who really resembles everything that we are. You can only ever find components of someone. And so you have to pull out bits and pieces and create that hybrid that, you know, is only going to exist in yourself. Now, with all that in mind, we're going to take a listen to Sarah first, and she's going to talk about the role models in her life, starting with her family, but also then expanding beyond that and looking for other role models in your life and different perspectives on kind of the anterior role model, i.e. people who do the opposite of what you want to do. So she expands a little bit on that and shares some of her experience. So we'll start off now with Sarah.
Hi there, this is Sarah. I'm so happy to be back with all of you and to have the chance this time to speak about this great topic, role models. As the same word implies, or at least I tend to think about this way, we normally have several role models. Probably some of them can be the same ones over one's life, but most of them, they change over time. Once we learn something about it and we move to the next thing, it's inevitable to always encounter new people. And as multi-potentialites, and I think in general, all of us, we all have many, many role models for different things. And honestly, I think is the way to go with role models. I don't think it's sane to have just one role model or just to have one or two persons that you kind of name them your role models and you follow their whatever they do blindly. And I think that could be damaging for one's individuality, right? In my personal experience, the ones that have truly marked my life are the ones that have shown me the way I want to be. But from a personal and human perspective, they have helped me mold my character instead of show me a professional path. I mean, I've had people in my life, mostly teachers so far, that have kind of shown me what I would like to do with my life. But for now, or right now, that is not true because I kind of in a weird path, not relating with my future, my past education. Nevertheless, what I wanted to say is that for me, the most important role models are the ones that are showing me the person I want to be. In life, actually, the first role models that we encounter are our parents. And this can be for good or bad. They can show you what you want to do or how you want to be or completely the opposite and still are role models because they are showing you the things you don't want to do. I don't know if that's actually a thing, like role models not to follow. But no matter what, we can learn from everything, from good and bad, and knowing inside yourself that something is good for you or something is bad for you gives you the power to shape yourself. And that's the whole point of role models, right? To shape yourself in the way that you personally want to be. I had the big gift of a great family that has been and keeps being a great role models of personal growth. So for me, that it's mostly all that matters. They have helped me to learn how to push myself out of my familiar and comfort zones and knowing that I could count on their support no matter what. And that have shown me that that's also the way I would like to be in the future if I am a parent sometime. I understand the need of looking for people who look like you as role models, but I don't feel that necessarily has to be a rule. I know that Emily said it in her blog post. It was something that another Potty Peep said. And I do think, like, nevertheless, I think it's extremely important to look for people similar to you. But in order to start creating a community and to feel empowered and supported, I feel that looking for people that are similar to you is more important in order to create a group of support, a group of people, a community, than to find role models. I feel that the more diverse and the more different role models that you find, the more rich you become. I don't think, like, I think role models don't necessarily have to be shared with others, neither. Like, I think when you admire someone and you aspire to be like someone, you aspire to maybe to be like a small part of that someone. And you can think about it in the depths of your intimacy. You don't need to share it with people. I think it's a personal and self-reflection. But I do think a really important quality to look for role models is to have your eyes wide, wide open to anything. You see something that you like, no matter where, from where, or what person, you copy it. And it doesn't. It can be a small thing, and that can still be something to copy and a model. And it doesn't necessarily have the full personality of a person. It can be something just very small in that person that you admire and you like, and that's what you want to copy. That's the thing, and that you only copy what you like. That's the way we learn. And that's the way you own how you shape yourself, how you shape your own criteria. I mean, ever since we are born, we are constantly linking to ourselves to role models. And I think the beautiful part of becoming an adult is that you can become much more aware of the people you choose and the things that you choose to find as something to follow. It's something that you see and you feel in your guts, like in your intuition, that you like that as something that you want to do. It's something that you want to act like that, you want to do like that, you want to be like that. And it can be a patchwork of things, of multiple people, of multiple cultures, multiple ideas, and the beautiful thing is that you can make all of those things your own and become something unique. This is my contribution for this episode. I hope it wasn't too chaotic and it was helpful for at least some of you. I wish you a great couple of weeks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sarah. Now, I should mention that Sarah is embarking on a new career, at least for the short term, I think, perhaps indefinitely. She's becoming a flight attendant, and she's been busy the last little while doing her courses and, training and so on. And as she was recording that episode, it was like just on the eve, I think the night before, or like really close before taking off from, I'm assuming from Spain to the Dominican Republic on her first trip. So we were kind of scrambling to get this episode together at the last minute. We had some technical glitches and so on. And I was like, do you want to add something in? Do you want to give us some thoughts? And of course, Sarah says, sure, I'd love to. But, it's like last minute as she's scrambling to get her new life in order. So great to hear her input. And this has been kind of the hallmark of this podcast here, that all of us, of course, have busy lives as we do, lots of projects and stuff on the go, but we find ways to squeeze it in and try to give you something that's fun, that's interesting and inspiring and hopefully useful as well. So that's that was Sarah's take. And we're going to throw it over to Vanessa now, joining us. It's been a little while. It's been a few episodes, I think, since we've heard from Vanessa, but she's always there, at least in the background, giving us some comments and input and advice. Because Vanessa, of course, out of the four of us, she's the one who's the real podcaster here. She has her X-Files show, another podcast about X-Files podcast, and she has far more hours behind the microphone than any of us combined. So we really turned to her for some good advice and input, and we turned to her now for her perspective on role models. So Vanessa will get into a bit of the personal perspective, especially coming from her family, and you'll hear how she has multi-potentialites in her own family, which is always great to hear. People that recognize it, in themselves and have passed it along to their children, and so that's really helped to shape Vanessa's life. And she talks about people, of course, in the wider world as well, and that she identifies with and have helped her along the way. So take it away, Vanessa.
Hello, listeners. This is Vanessa, one of the semi-regular hosts of the Multipod. I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of my role models, some people that I think are pretty cool. So there are so many people that I could consider role models for myself. Kind of had a hard time putting just a few people together, but that's not a bad thing because Sarah, another one of our regular hosts, pointed the rest of us hosts to a blog post on puttylike.com by Kristen Wong. And she says on the post, which is called How to Find a Role Model as a Multipotentialite, that you can quote unquote Frankenstein your role model. Basically, find a few different people who are role models for you because they are involved in or have pioneered different things that interest you. So I have a few role models that I'd like to give shout outs to. I'm going to start with a big mega celebrity role model, who is Ellen DeGeneres. I really admire how in the 1990s, when no one else was really talking about LGBTQ plus issues, she bravely came out as gay on her sitcom. And she endured years of not being hired because she decided to live authentically in the limelight, and she was criticized heavily and practically ostracized. And then she made a comeback, and now she is one of the pillars in the LGBTQ plus community, and she literally makes it her mission to make people happy, and I think that is pretty cool. The world definitely needs more people like that. I also admire someone closer to home, someone you may not have heard of, but someone I interact with a lot. Her name is Julie Peters. She's a yoga instructor and an author here in Vancouver, BC, Canada, where I live. She owns a little yoga studio called Ocean and Crow Yoga Space, and I've been going to classes there for years. She's someone who grounds me, who's able to see the world from a pragmatic, realistic, and calm standpoint, but who is also very real about the struggles she sometimes faces in daily life. So she makes yoga accessible, and there are thousands of yoga teachers around the world of all different flavors and personalities, but sometimes they don't present the practice in a way that is accessible to all, and I think Julie does that and more. And you should totally go check out her website at www.jcpeters.ca, and you can read some of her writing about yoga and other things on there as well. And like I said, there are so many more people that I could mention. I feel like this little audio recording could go on for hours if I were to tell you about all the amazing people out there who inspire me. I mean, just off the top of my head, like Michelle Obama, Maya Angelou, trying to think, I mean, Beyonce, she inspires me. Gillian Anderson, the actress, I love her. I'm a big X-Files fan and I have a podcast about the X-Files. Shameless plug, go check it out. It's called Not Another X-Files Podcast. But yeah, she's definitely a role model for me. Other people in my life, my partner Taylor, who's awesome and amazing and is my, you know, teammate in life. But I also want to give a shout out to my mom. She was diagnosed with diabetes at a young age and basically was told she wasn't going to live past the age of 35, which is crazy to think about. I'm 34 and that she was told that she wasn't going to live a year longer than I'm alive now. That's crazy to think about. But that's because medicine was different back then. And, you know, 30 years later, she's thriving and she has taught me kindness and she's taught me compassion. And she has taught me how to appreciate the little things in life and the beauty in everything. And she's shown me strength in vulnerability. And I don't know what I could do, what I would do without her texts that she sends me every day filled with emojis. I mean, that really keeps me going. And as I'm saying this out loud, I'm kind of realizing that I need to also give a shout out to my dad. He's someone who has shown me that being a multipotentialite is not a bad thing. This was before I even knew the term multipotentialite. He's always gone from interest to interest. Like he starts things and then he stops them when they're no longer possible or when he's gotten what he needs out of the experience. And that may seem flaky or self-centered, but it's really not. Because one thing he has stuck with forever, I mean, since before I was born, is his practice of medicine. He's a Harvard-trained medical doctor. And within that field, he has changed from discipline to discipline. He's done so many different things, but he's always had an innate caring for other people. And that really comes across no matter what area of medicine he's practicing. And I've seen him interact with patients and he is completely focused on them when they're talking to him, completely focused on their needs, always trying to figure out the best possible thing for them in their unique situation. And he's amazing. And he makes me realize also that you can try different things out, but you can also really stand steadfast in your values. And that's amazing. Anyway, definitely go check out the blog post that I mentioned earlier about role models on puttylike.com. And I don't know, maybe pick up a journal and start writing about your role models. Maybe reach out to a role model, whether they're famous or not. Tell them how much they mean to you. I mean, if they're famous, go on Twitter, tweet at them. Maybe they'll respond. Sometimes they do. Or tell, you know, people who are role models in your life. If you feel comfortable, tell them that they're role models and that you really admire them. I think that people need to hear that more from each other. So, okay, that's it for me. Thanks for listening to my little segment.
Thank you, Vanessa. Sandrine is back on the show, and she's going to share with you her take, which includes a very impressive and even famous in her own time ancestor, who of course played a wonderful role as a great role model for Sandrine herself. I'm going to leave it there, send it over to her, so you can learn who it was.
Hello everyone, Sandrine here on the Multipod. Well, yes, you have noticed that I've been absent. And it hasn't been because I don't want to be on this wonderful platform. It's because I've been very busy. As you know, on episode 9, well, if you don't know, go and listen to episode 9. I shared this big dream that I had and this big project. And so I've been very, very enthralled and working hard at making this project real. But more on that in January when we do a recap and update all of you on what's happened to all of us, the people who've been interviewed on this great podcast. Today's topic is about role models. And I'm so happy to chime in and give my impressions and thoughts on the role model that has been really the driving force of my life. So this woman is Colette Duval, and she was my great aunt. So she was the wife of my grandmother's brother. So he's my great uncle, and she was his wife. And they were two adventurous people. She was a stunt woman, and so was he, a stuntman, of course. They both raced cars. She did the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is a big rally race. She was an actress, she was a model, she was a circus athlete doing trapeze, she managed a forest in Africa, she wrote 2 books, she was a stand-up comedian. I mean, basically, she did so many different jobs and careers in her life. She was absolutely impressive, she was beautiful, she was nice, she was funny. I was so privileged to get to know her. Unfortunately, not as many years as I would have liked to, because she passed away when I was in my late teens. But nonetheless, every time we had a family gathering and Tata Coco was her nickname was there, I tried to be as close as I could to her and listen to her and be just in her energy and around her, because she was just so much fun to be around. So she was my role model, and she was a pure polymath. And it's funny because it's only recently, when Jillian interviewed me for the Multipod Motivator, that she came right back to the forefront of my mind, my great aunt. So I re-picked up the book that she'd written. She wrote 2 books, but unfortunately I can't get my hand on the other one. I can't seem to find it anywhere. But one of them I picked up at my grandmother's house when I took care of her estate. So I have it with me. The other one, I can't even find it online. But nonetheless, that book was so great because it told me so many other elements of her life that I didn't know about. So I think it's great that we have people we can look up to that had multiple lives and tried so many different things against all odds, against all of what society thought was the right thing to do. You have to think that my great aunt was born in the 40s, in the middle of the Second World War in France, and decided to be a skydiver and a stunt woman. And you can imagine that back then, a woman wanting to do these types of things as a career, she didn't want to have a family. She didn't want to be a hairdresser or a secretary or anything like that, or a seamstress. She wanted to fly. She wanted to race cars. She wanted to ride motorcycles and travel the world. And she did. So she was always a huge inspiration for me. And I'm really privileged to have been around her. So since then, I have had other role models, but really very few, and most of them have passed and they're from a different era. Now, I like to think that we are the next generation's role models because we're living our multipod lives and we're in full awareness and we fully accept who we are, not every day, but most of the time. And so that really creates the path for the future generations and the younger people behind us who are questioning themselves as well and wondering if they're normal, if it's okay for them to be polymaths and to be interested in so many different things and have so much curiosity. So I'm actually really happy to know that I'm helping others allow themselves to be multipods and to be okay with it and to be accepting of specialists and of people who have multiple interests and capacities. So, you know, I like to really look at all of our community that we're so lucky to have, thanks to Emily Wapnick and Joel and the rest of the team, and to really say, wow, you know, because we have this community and because we can be exactly who we are, it's okay to be a multipod and it's great to be a multipod, and now we can welcome others and be totally natural and fine with this particular way of being, even though our society and our families don't always understand or aren't always happy that we're all over the place the way that they see us. So let's just keep being great multi-potentialites that have so much capacity, so much energy, and such a great variety of experiences and rich lives. On that note, I wish you a great week and we'll be speaking to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Well, that was pretty cool. So I looked up Colette Duval online and you can do so as well. You can search for her name. It's spelled C-O-L-E-T-T-E and her last name Duval, D-U-V-A-L, Colette Duval. And simply type that in and you'll see some pictures of her. Now, you won't see a direct resemblance to Sandrine because they were related by marriage. You might catch a glimpse of Colette's husband, Gilles Delamare, who then would be Sandrine's uncle, great uncle, I guess, as she was saying. I can see a bit of a resemblance there if you can find this. He's in the occasional picture. But man, what a snapshot back to, you know, the age of flight and pioneers of flight and so on, especially for women. I mean, these are pictures from the 1950s and 60s, but still, to be a pioneer at that time is an incredible thing. And, you know, these are like black and white pictures and she's standing in front of her airplane and, like, you know, she's got the aviator helmet on and the goggles and the whole thing. It's like, you'd swear she's friends. She would have been friends with Amelia Earhart, kind of thing. It's pretty neat. And now, if you want to learn, there are a couple websites that talk a bit more about her history, her background. They are in French, so you have to translate it, or you can practice your French. But you can get a bit of a sense of some of the things that she did, as Sandrine was saying. You know, as a sky driver and a stunt woman and a whole bunch of things. It's a pretty neat connection. When I think of the role models in my life, I think it starts with thinking about the times of my life, the periods of my life. So whether I was in high school or university and thinking of the people who kind of come before me and were doing things that I found really interesting and exciting and realizing, you know, I can do that too, or I can aspire to do that as well. Whether it was, I studied politics and I was into history and people pursuing those kinds of projects, or I was playing a lot of music, certainly at the time. I still do as much as I can, but especially at the time, and discovering all kinds of artists and groups and so on that I'd never heard of and were new and exciting to me. And, you know, I'm thinking of it now, it's kind of like maybe a question of inspiration versus role models. And what's the difference? I mean, you can be inspired by someone because of what they've done with their life or the things that they've produced or created, or maybe the way they live their lives and their values and inspirations that way. Is that the same thing as a role model? I feel like maybe a role model kind of takes it a step further, in that by nature of the term itself, it's a model. So you would model yourself after a person, or as we've talked about here today, the notion at least of a hybrid model. But still, it's the idea of taking that inspiration and then doing something with it, and then modeling, you know, your identity and how you approach life or you approach a project or something that you're working on based on that inspiration, and you create a model in yourself. So it's a question of action, I suppose. It's a question of not just enjoying an inspiration, but maybe doing something with it. But then again, I mean, we've heard today from everyone how, you know, they have inspirations and people they consider role models. Did they replicate the things all of their role models did? Probably not necessarily, but they certainly take inspiration from them. And maybe they replicate them and model themselves in certain ways, in certain facets, right? So I think back to some of those early inspirations. And if I was really serious about kind of doing something about it, then I would try to take some action. I would try to pursue a certain path or model what it was that they were doing. Of course, being a multipotentialite, I probably lost interest or moved on or ended up, you know, life changing and evolving. And before you know it, I think if anything, I think back and I've forgotten a lot of the early role models, even up to this day, because as I say, it really comes back to when I start thinking about it, the time and place I was in my life. So in high school and university, I had certain role models. Then I got really into simply traveling and having adventures and trying different jobs and moving around and, you know, meeting lots of people, of course, as a result, but also following others who are doing the same thing. And if people were maybe a bit older than me or a step ahead of me, I would try to model myself after them. You know, if they were kind of backpacking the world or getting work permits, let's say, and living in other countries, you know, trying different jobs, I wanted to do those same things. And I was pursuing that same idea. And so people I would have come across at the time would have been my role models. Now, this was, say, mid-2000s or so, and when I started doing that, if I was to start it now, there'd be so many more people doing that because it's become a whole lifestyle. It's like this kind of sub-niche lifestyle industry, you know, the whole digital nomad and the people that can move around and live basically anywhere they want as long as there's internet, stuff like that. Our own Mike here on our show, he basically has built his life that way, as quite a number of people in the Putty tribe. So it's so much more common. And that kind of speaks to, you know, the accessibility maybe of role models, and that thanks to the internet, basically, we can find people so much more easily than we used to. When I think back to 10 plus years ago, I was doing a lot of things that I felt not a lot of other people did. I wasn't really trying to set an example, but I just kind of wanted to live that way. I wanted to travel and I wanted to have adventures. And so if I found people that were inspiring and role models to me along the way, then great. But it's not like there was a whole plethora of blogs and podcasts and YouTube and all the other things that exist nowadays of people setting an example, being that inspiration, being role models to other, and quite possibly making some kind of living or business out of it as well. It's very, very common now. 10 plus years ago, it wasn't. You would have been a real groundbreaker to have been creating that kind of content around, say, 2005 or 2007. I didn't really think of it back then. And this kind of brings me to my final point, is that, you know, how much have I been a role model myself to others? I may have been. It's crossed my mind. But I haven't shared enough of my life, let's say, or my journey And sometimes I regretted that. I guess it's not too late because I could do it now in retrospect. I don't travel and move around nowadays like I used to. Of course, I'm settled down with a family and a house and all the rest. And that could be an inspiration in and of itself. But, you know, in terms of trying to inspire and motivate others to live that life of being a nomad and so on, I mean, I basically did it for quite a long time. But I never shared it. I never had a blog. I never did any of that kind of stuff. Even when it was becoming more popular, it didn't come naturally to me. It didn't really cross my mind. And yet at the same time, sometimes I thought, and I still think in retrospect, well, you know, maybe people would have been interested to hear what I was doing. Maybe I would have been a role model to others. And when I think about it now, in 2018, and I'm in my late 30s, and I think about maybe some of my younger cousins or people that I've come across specifically, or of course people in general who are, say, 10, 15, even 20 years younger than me, if they're interested in that kind of adventure as well, I would have something to share. So it comes back to being role models ourselves. We've heard a bit about that here today as well, you know, flipping it around and being role models ourselves to others. We're the next generation, a lot of us. I mean, you'll always end up, you'll get older and you'll have children, or you'll be influencing the next generation that comes after you. So we kind of inevitably become role models of some kind to others. But what about the idea of embracing that and, you know, doing something with it, creating something, and really being an active role model to others? Well, it's certainly something to think about. It would be a great further discussion that we could have on this show, that we could certainly have in the Putty Tribe, you know, the notion of being a role model and inspiration to others, because we live such interesting lives. And I'm not one, as you can tell. I mean, it's not really in my nature to kind of talk about a lot. I feel like I'm boasting. It feels kind of vain. You have to turn it around on its head in a way and say, look, maybe there's people out there that do want to hear your story. Maybe they would be inspired, and maybe they wouldn't question why you're doing it. They would say, wow, you've had some amazing adventures and done some original things that were bold or risky or exciting, and they make for great stories at the very least, but you know, can also be very inspiring, and even right down to some of the nuts and bolts of how you go about getting a work permit or how you find jobs in other countries or other parts of the country, stuff like that. So, you know, there is value, of course, in everything that we do, and you can always find, I'm sure, somebody who finds inspiration in the things that you've done with your own life. And so we've talked about the role models that we find and we have identified in our lives, but what about being role models ourselves? And I'll leave it with this point. When I think about being a role model to my own children, who are young, they're 1 and 3 years old, but that is something that I think about quite frequently. As you're reminded of it basically every day, you're showing them how to do things. Our daughter is taking quite an interest in letters. She's 3 years old. She's not reading yet, but you can see that the interest is there. And other things about, you know, behavior and politeness and how to be a good person. You know, we've often talked in our family, our extended family, well, having kids and bringing people into this world that's overcrowded, supposedly, and there's, you know, so much that seems kind of maybe sad and negative about this world. You want to bring more people into it? Well, we decided, not just myself and my wife, but a lot of our siblings and other people we've talked to, there's value and there's inspiration in bringing good people into this world and instilling them the values of compassion and empathy and being good people. I mean, just good, decent people, right? And that's a motivation. And where does that really, what does that boil down to? It is in being a role model as much as anything to your children. So that's something I really think about quite viscerally. We're aware that we are guiding them. And imagine what they will say, I guess, 20, 30 plus years from now, you know, about the kind of role models that we were as parents, and positives, lots of negatives as well, but just to have their perspective on it, right? And that really gives you something to think about as we sign off for this episode. So it's been a different episode for us here in the Multipod. We're exploring different formats and approaches to doing this show. As you know, we're coming up to a year anniversary basically in January, so scarcely a month from now. And gives us some pause for retrospective and considering where we go from it. It's been a tremendous delight to meet lots of members of the Putty tribe and get to know them and their stories. And as I always say when I wrap up every episode, you can get in touch. You can suggest topics. You can ask to be on the show. And we'll say, of course, come on anytime with open arms. So that invitation is always there. The door is always open. But, you know, we really want to turn our focus more than ever to the content that we create and providing value and something of use and inspiration to you, the listener, who takes the time to listen to this show, of course. And that's going to be our focus. We hope that we can still have as many guests as possible on the show. We can continue to meet more members of the Putty tribe. But we're going to be a little less reliant on that, I think, going forward, and focus on developing our content here as best as we can. At least that's the proposal. But it's exciting. You know, this podcast is an adventure. It's an ongoing discovery of ideas and possibilities, which is what makes it so fun and inspiring in itself. I guess this podcast is this podcast a role model for something? I suppose it is. I'll think about that here as I'm wrapping up and editing this episode. Anyway, it's been fun, it's been different, and we hope you've enjoyed it. We look forward to talking to you again very soon. Thanks for tuning in, and as everyone else has said, I'll add as well, have a wonderful rest of the week.